to church. If you're online, it's great to have you with us as well. Why don't you grab your seats? It's great to be here. We are here, the beginning of 2024. We're here in January, which does mean that we're not on our six-week-long January holidays like some people on Facebook right now, but it's all right because we're here in church. Who's excited to be here today? Are we excited? Are we ready? I hope you're excited. It's a great time of the year to be in church. If we haven't met, if you're brand new, my name's Mon, as Michelle said. We just hope that you have the best Sunday here in this place if you're brand new to church today. But we come to church for so many different reasons, and there are so many different things that we could do with our time every single Sunday, but especially as we begin the new year. Who was here on December 31st? Anyone remember 2 weeks ago? Oh yeah, a few hands, nice. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we did an incredible message. Pastor Michelle spoke about how we can make the most of 2024, a brand new year, whether we like it or not. There are less than 365 days left until 2025. So the year's ticking over. It's scary. It's not exciting for some people. It's exciting for some. But we have the opportunity today to choose as a church to come and encourage each other, to look to the future and to know that God has got an incredible plan for us this year. And if we would put the right habits in our lives, if we would do things in our lives, if we would be intentional with our time to make the most impact with our lives, imagine what 2024 would look like. Like imagine in 2020, if we knew how popular toilet paper was going to become and we all put shares in it, we'd all be millionaires right now if we'd put shares into toilet paper back in 2020. Or does anyone here do cryptocurrency? Anyone know the Bitcoin? Anyone? There's one person. Yeah. I've got no idea how this works. But imagine in the beginning of the year, if we wanted to make an impact, if we knew where we could put our money, $20 into Bitcoin or whatever it is, we could have a massive impact this year. The reality is, as we're looking at this series, Wisdom on Shuffle, the book of Proverbs, it's not a money back 150 years extra added to your life guarantee. But what it is it's wisdom that we can be pointed to from a God who sees all and who knows all. We don't know what the end of this year is going to look like, but what we know is that if we make the most of this year, if we choose to walk where God's calling us to walk, if we listen to the wisdom of God, and as we're calibrating our journeys every single week in January, I'd encourage you to come every single week. Because as we're looking every week at a different piece of wisdom from God, what it can do is that it can help us on our journey as we're walking toward what God has for us. And that's what we get to do today. I am our kids' pastor. I'm super passionate about the next generation of our church. And as we look to how we can make an impact this year, what is exciting as it is not just what happens in this room here, but every single one of us, we represent such a big amount of people in our world. You know, you've got workplaces, you've got families, you've got grandkids, you hang out with all different kinds of young people in your world. And so today, I wanted to encourage you of how you can make the most of your life with your young people this year. So this is a verse we're going to look at. It's from Proverbs 22, verse 6. This is what it says. I'm excited about this. Okay, this is a verse from Proverbs 22, 6. This is what it says, if it comes up. Anyone know it? Just testing you. It's all right. Here we go. This is what it says. It says, start children off on the ways that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. What this verse is talking about today is it's talking about if we maximize the first 18 years in a person's life, this window of opportunity to pour into them the goodness of God, then we have this promise from God that regardless of what situations look like with our young people turned old people right now, that even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So we're going to pray and then we're going to jump into it. And for whoever we are in the room, I really believe that God has something to say to us today. So let's pray and then we're going to jump into it. God, we just thank you so much for your word, God. We thank you for the wisdom of this verse, the gift and the opportunity that we have today as a church. That no matter who is in our world, whether we're parents of kids gone by and we've walked this out and we're waiting to see the fruit of it, God. Whether we're brand new to church and we're just trying to figure out what that way is for our lives. Whether we're people here with kids, without kids. We thank you, Jesus, that there is power in what happens when the church comes together and invests in the young people in this place. God, we just thank you so much that we get to see you move. And we pray that this year, regardless of what we're doing, that we would have an impact this year. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what this is saying is that there is a disproportionate amount of time if we are to choose to start children off on the way that they should go in their lives. Who knows that kids are like sponges? You know, you might be with a kid, you might be with your own kid, even worse, you're with someone else's kid and a word pops out and you wish you didn't say it and the kid starts saying it. Kids are like sponges. And I was with a kid a few weeks ago, I was with Dean and Lisa and Asher. We were walking along to the beach and who knows, kids are hard work. If you're not a kids person, they're hard work, right? I was with Dean and Lisa. They've got this two-year-old. It's the end of the day. We're going for a walk to the beach. We're like, hey, let's just go out. Let's get out of the house. Let's do something. Let's go for a walk to the beach. Let's see what happens. All right, Asher, it's time to pack away the toys. You know, we're going to the beach. Come on, come on. Finally get him in the hallway. You know, not that toy. We put the clothes on, put the warm jacket on, put the shoes on, put the socks on, get the dog, all of this. We're halfway down the park. There's glass on the road, there's dog poo on the road, we're walking along the footpath, it's a messy situation. The two-year-old, you know, trying to touch this, trying to touch that. We're like, come on, just let's get to the beach. We're trying to watch the sunset. The sun's already half set at this point, you know, like we are hurrying up, we're moving along, and all of a sudden Asher decides that he wants to take off his shoes and his socks. We're like, Asher, you cannot take off your socks and shoes. Look at the glass on the floor, look at the dog poo on the floor. We wear our shoes when we walk to the park, and he says, Mont's not got shoes on. And I look down and I'm in bare feet. And so I was like, well, I guess so. So off comes his shoes. Kids are like sponges, for better or for worse. What we do, kids will copy. It doesn't matter if you think you have a direct impact on a child. If you have got road rage and there are kids in the car, your grandkids, somebody else's kids, what are you showing to your kids? What this verse is saying to us today is that with the gift of a kid being a sponge, it's a gift. Most of the time, how are we using it to help them know God? Because what we say with them, we'll stick with them. We know that the word of God never departs. The seeds that are sown. Maybe you're a parent here, and like I said, you've lived this out. Maybe you did all the right things like this verse is saying. You started your kids off on the way that they should go. Maybe you brought them to church every week. Maybe you prayed with them every night. Maybe you bought them a Bible. Maybe you had the good friends for them. And maybe right now, the seeds that you so faithfully planted do not seem to be at life in your kid's heart right now. Maybe they feel dead, whatever it is. This verse is an encouragement today that they will not turn from the word of God, not because the things of this world will not try and pull them away, but that idea that the word of God is still in them. And we're going to look at why that is so important and why that has so much power. And why, as I said, this wisdom from God, we can just choose to follow it and we can trust God with the rest. But this word of God is the most important thing. It's the best gift. I would much rather do this than not do it at all. Imagine what would happen. What this verse is saying, the first thing it's encouraging us to do is it's encouraging us to just get started. It says, start children off on the way that they should go. You know, for the people of God who were hearing this verse, they were the Israelite people in the Old Testament. Solomon wrote this verse of wisdom to them. And for them, when they had this word of God from Solomon, the reason why they could hold to it so faithfully was because they had held on to the word of God for their whole life. They didn't have access to Jesus. You know, if you're new to church here, we believe that Jesus is the reason why we have full access to God, because he has defeated all of the things in this world. For the people of God, the word of God was their lifeline to God. It was what they held to when they didn't hear God's voice for 20 years, more than 20 years. So for them, when they heard Solomon say, people, parents, start children off on the ways that they should go, they were like, that sounds familiar. It's the wisdom from God. They had this verse in Deuteronomy, which is such a great picture for us of what that idea. Some translations of this verse, it says, train a child in the ways that they should go. No matter who we are, this is a great picture of what it looks like to just immerse our kids in the goodness of God. I'm going to read it to us because for them it would have been familiar, it would have been on their brains. This is what it says. It says, these commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames, on your houses, and on your gates. And so for the people of God, this picture of training is not a one and done, bring my kids to church and it's all sorted kind of situation. But it is that day in, day out training of showing God in every season of a kid's life. As you're walking along the park, how can you thank God for what he's made that you're seeing with your eyes? Or as you're praying with your kids,
How can we thank God? What can we pray for that kids need in their lives? I know for me, a few years ago, one thing that I wish that somebody had trained me in how to do was surfing. Does anyone do surfing here? No one. Smart move. I see a couple of people. It's good. Oh, yeah, easy, yeah. For me, I'm not a surfer, but I thought it'd be fun, and I watched a few YouTube videos. So my friends, they'd given me a surfboard, a wetsuit. They were like, we're throwing this out. I was like, I'll take it. I would love to learn how to surf. So I take myself down to Trigg Beach. You know, it's perfect conditions. There's 2 meter waves. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be just like on YouTube. I'm just going to get on that surfboard. I'm just going to, you know, do a few paddles up on the wave. Should be fine. Did it once at Queen's Beach. There was no waves. I was perfect at it. You know, I was perfect surfer. So I'm giving it a go. Get on the first wave. There's pro surfers everywhere. They're looking at me. They're like, who is this girl? Has she learned how to surf? No. I'm just giving it a go. So I'm over one little wave. Nope. Over a second little wave, nup. All of a sudden, this 2 meter wave comes. I don't know how to avoid the wave because I've had no training. I get off the board, I get completely dumped. The only thing I forgot was that my surfboard was still tied to my leg. And so not only am I spinning around in this wave, but my leg is spinning around in this wave. All of a sudden, the lead attached to my leg, it pulls my knee to the side. I tear my knee in two places. I'm in a brace for 6 to 8 weeks. And my friends are like, how'd you hurt your knee? And I was like, I was surfing. And they're like, you do surfing? Like, I was not a surfer. But imagine what this picture would be for our kids if we taught them how to surf the waves of knowing God in their lives. Imagine as they go over those boards, we're with our kids by their side and they're like, oh, here's a little wave, just follow the voice of God, hold on to this, get over that one. Here's another wave, hold on to the voice, get over that one. If we're to do what this verse says, to train our kids in the everyday, like an apprentice would learn from a carpenter or a plumber, learning as they go, picture of knowing God, then imagine what will happen to our kids when the bigger waves of life come. They will know how to surf those waves of faith because they've learned what it looks like to live it in the everyday life. This is what we are called to do. If we want to have a maximum impact in our kids' lives, to sow the seeds of the goodness of God, not just for a little bit, but so that we will make an everlasting impact, this verse is promising us, in their lives, that when they are old, they will not turn from the goodness of God because they've walked with it. And so I want to encourage us today that as we're just starting off, it doesn't matter who you are, but we all have a part that we can play. Imagine what it would look like with the richness of the incredible people in this room who would partner with the youngest in our church, the youngest in your families, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews. What are we doing and what are we saying? It doesn't matter whether we have hundreds of hours with our kids, if you're one of our parents who has such an incredible impact on our kids' lives right now, or if you're just a person who sees your grandkids once a week or one day a week with those little kids, or you work with kids, or you're having a coffee with a friend and they've got kids. What are we doing? What are we saying? How are we maximizing moments to train our kids to know God? You know, if you're a parent, I just wanted to encourage us. There is this app called the Parent Q app. There's going to be a picture of it on the screen. And it gives you 5 ways of how, if you are wanting to train your kids in 2024, if you want to embed God's word, the goodness of God, as you're driving to school, as you're having a bath, giving your kids a bath, as you're walking along to the park, as you're feeding them dinner, this is a great resource. Maybe you're brand new here and you wish that as a child you were trained in the way of knowing God. This is a great way that we can just grab this tool. We're here as a church to support you as well. But no matter who you are, whether you look after kids for a short time or a long time, that is a great resource for you. So as I was saying, what we want to do with our kids is we don't just want them to know God, but we want them to walk in the way of God. Imagine what would happen for True North Church 20 years' time if every single child that we were connected with knew more of God through us. Imagine how full this room would be. Not just full of people in here who just want what God has for us right now, but imagine the next generation being a group of people who know how to extend the love of God to the people in their world. For the people of God, this idea, start a child off in the way that they should go. For them, the way, that word of God, that thing they clung to, that connection point to God, that when they were walking in what God was telling them to do, that was how they knew where to go in their lives. That was when they knew they were connected to God. Are we going to be a people who get to do this as well? God has given us such a big story that we can choose to be a part of in our lives, where it's not always about what we want, but who knows that if we want to have kids who live their lives not just about themselves and what they want, but about what God wants for them to do through their lives, that we will be a people of impact. Have you ever seen a kid in the shops who's super upset because they're not allowed an ice cream? Or have you seen a kid with a tantrum on the floor in the shopping center who's been grateful that they've just been able to walk away from that situation? I would not want to deal with those kids. I'm grateful I'm not a parent yet. I'm respectful of your parents. But that kid, they can see the ice cream. They want the ice cream. Their friend's got the ice cream, but they can't have the ice cream. But what I love about that picture of a kid is that their parent knows exactly what that kid needs. The parent can see the bigger picture of their lives. Maybe if they're going to have the ice cream, they're not going to get any sleep that night, which means the parent won't get sleep that night. They will not be happy. What we have to do if we want our kids to know Jesus is we cannot just bring them to church. We cannot just tell them about God. We have to actually show them what it looks like to live our lives to the fullest that we can live them. How life isn't always about what we want at school and being first in the line, but how can we let somebody in front of us? As we modeling our lives in front of the young people in our world, how are we showing them what it looks like to live for Jesus? As we are at church and we're in the welcome team and every parent is arriving at 9:59, because of course every family's on time for church on a Sunday morning. Why would you not be on time with kids? What are we extending to them that shows them the love of Jesus? As we're lining up for a coffee and there's a kid in the coffee line, what are we saying to that child? How are we encouraging that person? As we hear about youth camp and the youth ministry and all of these things happening with these teenagers who are in such a pivotal point in their lives, as we see teenagers playing basketball, doing crazy things in our worlds, what love are we extending to them? We don't have to be the most qualified person to work with a child, because whether we like it or not, the kids are watching. And are we going to choose, even if it's just 1 minute in a week that you're with a child, are we going to choose to show them what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus? For parents, this is such a massive challenge, because as I said, you are the people who spend the most amount of hours with your kids, and you know that, and you do such an incredible job. But as your child looks at the priorities of your family in 2024, do they know through the things on your calendar that God is the most important thing in your family's life? Do they know through the things that we say when we are tired, frustrated, whatever it is, do they see the love of God through us in those moments as well? You know, if you're a parent and you don't have something on a Sunday morning because your kids are super young, maybe you've not got footy, you've not got sport, you've not got whatever it is, when your child is looking at your family calendar on the fridge for 2024, if your Sunday spot is blank, can I encourage you the power of putting church in that spot, in that Sunday calendar every single week? Because when you come time and time and time and time again to church, every family's priorities will look different. That might not work for your family. Put another super big habit in instead. But as your child looks at that calendar, what is it that shows them that 2024 was a year that you as a family pursued Jesus? What do you want your kids to do at the end of 2024? Who do you want them to be? How do you want them to know the goodness of God? What stories do you want them to have in their minds of the times that they were scared because they couldn't sleep at night? And you as a parent came and prayed for them and read a verse over them to connect them with God. And church, we all have the opportunity to do this as well. What I want to encourage us with is, who is a group of people in your life, a group of young people, a group of under 18s, so some of you maybe just one person, but who is the young people in your life that you can sit around a circle with in 2024 regularly and actually speak words of encouragement into them? Have a conversation with them, get to know how they're going, pray for them, know what the big things in their worlds are. Are we going to use the richness of our life? Maybe it's just every single Sunday, making sure that you talk to one young person who's a part of True North Church. Maybe for you, you don't have kids in your world that you can easily connect with, but you've got space and you've got time. We've got an amazing kids ministry here on a Sunday where you can come on a roster and sit with a group of kids and impart the goodness of God into their life. Just hear how they're going. Give them a memorable experience of church. The good thing is, we don't have to have all the answers for all the hard questions. We don't have to be the funnest person in the room. We've just got to make ourselves available, Because when we do that, we're doing what this verse says. We're starting them off in the ways that they should go, and we can hold to the promise of God that they will not turn from it for the rest of their lives. For the people of God, this promise of starting a kid off in the way that they should go so they wouldn't turn, this was just one of the many promises in the Bible that they were able to hold to, and we can hold to them as well, because the promise of God never fails. It doesn't, we can't always just say that and look and see the answer to that promise. For the people of God, you know, they always believe, and we always believe here as a church, that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. For the people of God, they were waiting 20 years to see God back in their lives, in a way. They were holding on to his word. They were holding on to his promises. Could they see the fulfillment of that promise? No. Did some people be given promises from God but never see them fulfilled in their lifetime? Yes. But did they hold to the promise of God that there was nothing left? Yes. And so are we going to choose to walk and to pray like we believe it and to walk this out like we believe it as we're imparting the goodness of God to our kids? Yes. And so in 2024, as we look to what is one thing that we could do, big or small, that would have a guaranteed impact, as we're sowing the life of God into the young people around us, we can hold to the promise that this is having an impact in their lives as well. I love that saying, it's just like riding a bike. Has anyone heard that? Thankfully, I still know how to ride a bike. I'm not coordinated, but I went to Rottnest and I proved this to be true. 10 years of not riding a bike, I can still ride a bike. Some of you, it might have been longer since you rode a bike. But the idea of people coming to know God at a young age who maybe aren't walking with God right now, as they hear the goodness of God in their families as a kid, they're learning what it looks like to ride the bike of faith. And then as they come to church every week with your family back then, they were learning how to ride the bike of faith. And so when we believe that our young people who maybe don't know God right now just have that nudge from God or that willingness to come to know him, it doesn't matter how far away they seem right now, but this promise says that they will not turn from the word of God. And so we can pray and we can believe that all it takes, and we know this to be true for our young people gone older, all it takes is for them to pick up the bike of faith. Let's pray into that in 2024, that we would see even more people who we have sowed seeds in gone by. Let's pray this like we believe it, because I just really believe that God wants to show us that the word of God has never left. Maybe you've, you don't know God. Maybe you're brand new on the faith journey. Maybe for you, you're like, oh, I'm new to church. I'm recently come to know God. And you just wish that as a child you'd had this bringing up of knowing God as you've gotten older. Well, the best news is that there's another quote that I love, and it says, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time to plant a tree is today. And so if we want the future of our lives to be anchored in the goodness of God, maybe you're a parent, you want your kids to know a little bit more of what knowing God looks like in a positive space of church as they get older, I'd encourage you just not to wait. This verse applies for all of us. On your chairs, if you are new and you're wanting to find out a bit more information, there's an orange card for Alpha or for any of us who want to invite people to be a part of this. Imagine what it would look like if in 2024, if we just got a little bit closer to knowing God. Imagine what we could do and what impact we could have on other people knowing God as they get older if we just made this true in our own lives. I just want to encourage us as we finish. I'm just going to ask the band to come up. Yeah. And we can all stand up. I just want to pray into this idea that this just wouldn't be a word of wisdom from God that we would hear and we would think about just a little bit and then maybe forget it in the busyness and the craziness of life. But that as we journey more and more into what God's calling us to do this year, as we're walking in our shopping centres, as we're walking in the church, as some of you, you're walking that day in, day out, crazy journey, you can only imagine, of being a parent, that there is something in this for all of us. And I just want to encourage you not to leave this at the beginning of 2024, but for the rest of the year. And now we're just going to take a moment to think about what could this look like for our lives. As a family, what is the vision that we could have and you could go and plan for 2024? What are some new priorities that we could put into our lives so that in 2024, we will do a whole heap of amazing things, no doubt, but we will know and we can have confidence that we've imparted the goodness of God into our young people this year. Who are those groups of kids, for those of us without kids, this year? that we can surround ourselves with, and not only surround ourselves with regularly, but what are we doing and what can we say to them regularly in our lives? For those of us who have had kids gone by, who have walked this journey so well, how can we pray into this more in 2024? How can we thank God for the promises that he's given us in his word? How can we pray into, how can we get around and continue to love those people who we just pray will one day pick up that bike, because we know when they do that they will know the goodness of God as well in their lives. We just want to pray into that, because I would love that picture of 2044 to be our church so full of people. Imagine our church so full of people, too full for one service, because every single person here took this seriously this year and invested in some small way, just planted your seed, just did what God called you to do, to start kids off on the way that they should go. Imagine how full this room will be when they're not only still in church because they've learnt the faithfulness of God, but when they're also starting to bring their families to church and the cycle continues. Let's just pray that 2024 is a fresh year for our church, of our young people knowing God and of us playing a part. And with this richness in this room, I know that God has something to say to every single one of us, no matter where we're at. Maybe for you, it's just starting to plant that tree. So I'm going to pray for us. If you want to be a part of that, you can just lift your hands as a sign of saying, God, show me, use me, help me to know the young people in my world who I can be a part of. Not just babysitting, not just being with, but I can sit with and I can encourage and I can show them the way and tell them the way of God's goodness. I'm just going to pray for us. God, we just thank you so much that this year, 2024, we're going to do a whole lot of things. I thank you so much for all of the people in this room who you've called here, God, to be a part of your church today, who you want to speak to, who you want to fill with your love like never before in 2024, but you just don't believe that love can stop with them, God, but you want it to overflow, to have an impact. God, I pray that you would use us to stretch your word beyond ourselves this year, but that so every single young person would not miss out in our worlds from the ability to know your word, God, but that we would be able to give them that gift of the power of who you are so that they wouldn't turn from it from the rest of their lives. God, we thank you that that promise is true no matter the realities we live. Lord, we pray and we thank you for the parents here who have invested that so faithfully, God. We thank you for the example they are to their church. We thank you, God, for the hearts that they have that has been so open to you. Lord, would you blow them away this year, big ways, small ways, God, of just how that bike of faith is picked up and ridden afresh this year. Bring connections into their lives, God, of kids who have walked the journeys with them in days gone by. Speak to them, God. Nudge them, Jesus. We thank you that your word never fails, no matter what it looks like, whether we see it in our lifetimes or we don't. We thank you that you're a faithful God. God, I just pray for every parent here who is a part of our church family. We thank you that we get to be a part of supporting them, Lord. Lord, we just pray that this year, as we're walking around in church, for this church specifically, God, that we would be a family of families here who encourage parents to walk that journey together. We pray for every single one of us, God. Would you speak to us? Would you give us the names of those young people who we can start in the ways that they should go? Would you continue to grow us to know you? We choose not to hold anything back in this moment, God, but we withhold ourselves. We withhold nothing from you. We give ourselves to you now. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to worship now and we're going to sing that song, Withholding Nothing. Just that idea of giving ourselves before God. Withholding nothing of the kids in our world. Let's not withhold them back, but let's just be willing and open to say, God, use me this year, big ways, small ways. Let's worship God.